Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
So you have everyone here when you record?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're sitting in the same seat as Paul Feig and Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block.
Taron Killam from SNL.
Yeah.
And what's his face? Dr. Drew?
Dr. Drew hasn't been on yet.
He hasn't? I thought I saw a picture you guys have. Of...
Oh, we went to his place.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We recorded. We're trying to get him, but the guy has... 3,900 jobs.
Between the two,
He's got teenagers to help get off of meth. Is that one of his jobs?
I'm sure it is.
I'm sure there's a more classier description.
Yeah.
No,
what do you do, man? I help kids stop fucking with meth.
You know, there's a classier description, like, you know, doctor. but he'll just go with the other one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, feel honored and privileged. I'm not saying you should be giving us handies afterward.
No, I think Joey McIntosh. I think Joey McIntosh should be privileged. He sat in the same chair as Jay Larson.
I think so.
Joey Mac.
He's a Boston guy.
I know. Trust me. I don't think I'm dialed into who Joey McIntosh is.
Some people don't know. Are you privy to all famous Boston people?
No, but you gotta understand, like, I grew up in the 90s, dude. So, like, New Kids on the Block, New Edition, BBD, dude, Johnny New Gill, Ralph Tresvant, all those guys.
How dope was New Edition?
Dude, what do you mean was, dude? I was listening to him last night. And I'm talking classic.
Were you at a roller skating party in the fifth grade last night? Dude, that's really blessed.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's couple skate. Cool it now.
Oh, yeah. Or just fucking it's all skate. If it is love.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm going to go popcorn love on you.
If it's popcorn love, we are meant to be.
No. Popcorn love. What a fucking song.
Mr. Telephone Man, though, is the greatest.
Now, see. Oh, my God. That was a great one.
How did that one go?
I do this as a bit, but I only do it really. They rhyme operator and baby in that song. Mr. Telephone Man is about they're calling the operator and being like, yo, I'm trying to call my girl, but I'm not getting through, when the bottom line is she's just not into him anymore. And he goes, I got the operator. She said, please hang up and place your call again, baby. Is that not genius?
That's unbelievable.
Operator and baby.
Yeah.
Rhymed.
There's only certain...
Balls.
You know, Geraldo used to have a joke about... I think some rapper, it was Little John. He goes, he's got a new song called No More Dick for Your Pussy, Just Dick for Your Throat. I don't want to pay no child support. And he goes, now I'm not saying that's a bad approach to life necessarily. He goes, I just don't want my kids growing up thinking that throat and support rhyme.
That's tight.
But do they get away with so much of that shit?
I know.
You put a nice beat behind it.
There it is.
What you're not seeing is the matching purple disco ball jackets.
Paint that picture.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
dude. It.
Oh, sing to me, Bobby Brown.
That's Ralph Tresvant, dude.
Dude, there's just a different vibe going on in this time, you know? Like,
oh,
listen to a lot of Casio keyboard action.
A lot of Casio involved.
A lot of Casio involved.
You gotta understand, though, like, for me growing up, this was like... They were like older kids that were into like BBD, New Edition, and all that. So, yep. And I looked up to them, like Jay Pecora, dude, driving a Saab. He was in high school. I'm like, how did Jay Pecora get a Saab?
Who's Jay Pecora?
Exactly, dude. No, he wasn't a buddy. He was like.
He got a Jay Pecora, or that's your buddy?
Oh, no.
All you have to know is he has a Saab. I'm already want to be friends with this guy.
Yeah, we went to Stoneham High. He went to St. John's Prep. I was like, oh, man, Jay Pecora. You know those kids growing up that you like kind of idolize just because of who they were?
Dude,
absolutely.
Dude, there was a kid in my grade who had a sports court, and like his mom bought everything bulk at Costco, so we always had king size everything.
Oh,
and he had every game system, so it was like
that was a key back in the
day.
They
weren't even that loaded. He just fucking they just were like, and they had pinball machines from their grandparents.
What? Like if you were the kid that had the Sega Genesis next to the Super Nintendo,
forget it.
That blew everyone's mind.
Oh, it was nuts.
Like, what?
Yeah, because it was like we can play. And also, here's the fucked up part. He never let he could play it all the time. But I remember like we'd go over and play, and we weren't doing a lot of like play Toe Jam and Earl on Sega or
NHL 94.
Yes.
Do you know how much older I am than you guys? Because this is like we know what we had. We go to Adam Rask because he had RBI.
Mm-hmm.
For Nintendo.
RBI baseball. No, yeah, that's a great game.
And then we hide out in his his room, and I'd just be like, "Let me be the Sox, Tony Amos, get him off the bench."
Yeah, dude.
Jacking.
But would he let you? But would he let you play with him? Because my buddy, owning all these systems, could play him all the time. Would still, when I come over, not let me play, but like a couple games. He'd be a lot of times would be like, "I like to play solo."
So what?
What?
But guess what? I was so enamored by the amount of fucking fun that was going on that I was like, dude, I'll sit back and watch you play nine seasons right now.
Yeah. Like, I'll just commentate, man.
Do you mind if I grew up on these king-size Snickers? Because you got 40 boxes of them.
There, and then there was sometimes that moment where the kid that had the house that everyone wanted to go to, he said, like, well, why don't we go over? Like, and he would suggest someone else's house.
Yeah.
And everyone looked at him like he's a fucking moron.
Yeah, like, no way.
Like, what? They don't have Sega, Super Nintendo, and a zipline, asshole.
In a zip line.
Dude, Gregory has a George Foreman grill and one stepdad. Come on, like, why are we going there?
Yeah, we're not going over there.
I mean, yeah, I had a friend growing up in the backyard. He had a zip line. He had the Sega Super Nintendo combo. And then his dad had the black box for cable. So if you hung out after 9 o'clock, Spice Channel came on. It clear.
Dude, Spice Channel.
Unbelievable.
And you're like, what? Why would we ever leave this place?
You don't go anywhere.
This is heaven.
Yeah.
Dude, that's like the Neverland Ranch before the Neverland Ranch.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we all paused trying to make a child molester joke right there.
I was just wondering where we were going with it.
Well,
this is part of the podcast I like to call, hey, Jay, what do you think about Michael Jackson?
Honestly? God.
What?
Were you a fan?
Yeah, dude.
Are you a fan? Yeah, okay.
How can you not be a fan of that man's music?
Dude, it's, you know what's crazy to me? He might be the only... I think I just heard his music playing the other day at the beginning of a comedy club. And in the same day, it was one of those days where I heard it played in multiple venues. It was like comedy club. It was on the radio. Well, I was driving there. I was
what
in a
was
mall.
It
was just different
Eddie
collections.
MJ? Yeah.
Yeah, just, but I was like, dude, how many people are consistently played throughout a day in multiple? Dude, I think it was at a Togo's, fucking getting a turkey, a turkey avocado, and the guy making it was like, you want to get something started?
And it just enhances everything.
More chips, you know? Yeah.
It's like Michael Jackson's music is Viagra for your social life.
Mm-hmm.
It just enhances everything.
Dude, you put up... Here's the deal. Let me give you this. MJ, for sure. I mean, it's one of my classics, but just since we were on the BBD New Edition, the day that, like, I think I locked my wife down for good,
nice.
We were at Buffalo Club. You ever been to Buffalo Club?
Married her, you mean?
No, just like had her locked in, like she knew. This is the defining moment for me when I was like, I got this.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
We've been dating. Do you know Buffalo Club? It's on Olympic and 14th.
Yeah, tell Brad what it is.
They have this like What's back that? Area outdoors, and they have a DJ at night. It's nice. They have dinner and stuff, but it's super pimping. And I was just like, had only been dating my wife for, I don't know how many months, but I was there with her friends, and her friends were like a click, you know what I mean? Like, they were a group.
Now, was this the first time you had met them all as a group together?
I think I'd met them, but they weren't, like, very welcoming of me coming into the group, you know?
Well, sure. So, you have testicles.
Yeah, but, I mean, no, I'm talking dudes, too.
Oh, okay.
So, dudes and chicks, you know?
All right.
And my best friend, Jordan, is at Buffalo Club with his girl and his buddy from Chicago and one other person. Now, when he gets together with his buddy from Chicago, Jack Daniels comes out, shirts come off. So I'm there.
It's a regular Tuesday.
As is the norm.
Average, just basics. And Jordan was said to me, he goes, hey, we're done, man. We're going to get going. He goes, unless you want me to stay, it doesn't look like these guys are being super cool. And I'm like, not really. And he goes, I'm going to tell them we're all going to stay. So you got like a wing. If all else, you know, you got a wingman. I'm like, all right. And we're just sitting at the bar. My girl's dancing with her friends. And he's like, dude, you got to step up. And I'm like, all right, hold on. And I go, you got a pen to the bartender? And I just take a napkin and I write on it, BBD Poison. I just fold it.
Dude.
I go over to the DJ, and I know DJs don't like being requests, you know? And I just hand it to him, and he opens it, and he's like in the middle of a track, like got the head down.
Yeah, the head down on his ear.
On the ear, and he looks at me and just shakes his head up and down.
That's so gangster, man.
Yeah, so I go back to the bar. I'm just standing there all of a sudden.
Waiting for it.
Yep, waiting.
Are you checking in? Are you like looking over? Just
no,
seeing,
no,
give
just
one
like,
more little head nod? Yeah. Or are you like, no, he got it.
He got it. And I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden I heard, dun, 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 dun. And I grab.
Oh,
I grab. That's all I hear, and I'm like, oh, shit. And I grab a stack of napkins, like, I don't know, maybe 4 inches thick.
Turn down a little bit.
And I walk right out to the dance floor, and I take them, and I look at her, and I throw them in the air so they come down like confetti. And like, that's my song. I can't lose to Poison. And
she lose to Poison is the name of your next fucking book. Yeah. I can't lose to Poison.
She came right over to me like, this is it. This is the guy. And I crushed Poison and then boom, I had her.
Oh my God.
You're not, I mean, no joke. Like,
no, this is 100%.
Like, that's so great.
I take that song very serious.
That sounds like the scene out of an 80s movie. Like, you just expect like Emilio Estevez just to like throw some shit up in the air. Yeah,
that was your
Molly quack. Ringwald's like, that's my jam.
Exactly.
Oh my God. That's dude, a so
she
story.
Well, did she see the everything go down, or was it just a song that
no, she just saw me come out with a napkin. Like, she was just dancing.
So she saw everything go down. Yeah, vibe, she saw, yeah, dude. You create a vibe, dude. And that says a lot to women because you're like, hey, he can create a vibe for the rest of our lives.
That's what I'm saying, bro. That's dude, what I'm saying.
Great move, man.
Yeah, it was tight. It was tight.
Jay Larson is our guest, everybody. Yeah, co-host.
Oh, we recording?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We going?
That, yeah, what's up, guys?
Man? We just roll right into it.
We just go. And Jay Larson, co-host of one of my favorite podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
The Crab Feast podcast.
Both of you have done.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, it's the best.
Yeah, we've been on there with you and Ryan Sickler. Ryan, who has also been on our podcast. We've done a little Home and Away action. Fuck the Crab Feast. 5 stars.
I feel like I'm a little at home. Like, this is a Crab Feast home kind of vibe.
Totally, right? Yeah. It's well, you know, when I moved into this place, there was my roommate was living with a Hungarian movie star.
Sure.
And she came out here.
As you do.
And almost, I think he said he was like, she was, I think, fucking her manager, he said. And he basically helped furnish this place, more or less. I mean, the couch came from me and some other things, but this table, this like dope ass like wooden,
yeah, I love this.
Fucking looks like what
a Hungarian movie star would have.
Totally. Or like, you know, Goldilocks and the Three Bears or whatever. And so so when we had to leave GoCast and come here, it was just like, dude, I mean, time. But I remember when I set it up too, I was like, dude, this feels like the Crappy. So I was like, I think this is gonna work out well.
It's a good vibe
because you guys have a real it's comfortable.
Yeah.
And dude, you guys did a podcast in the studio, and it was great and fun. Like, for a while I was a little nervous.
Yeah,
about,
you felt like a professional, you know, you had the board, but
you didn't feel professional. But then, dude, once I actually did your guys's and got out of it and saw, I don't think I'd done a podcast out of a studio without having like a sound guy and all that shit and commercial breaks. And then I was like, oh man, is it going to be too raw? But dude, it's like, I can't imagine doing it any other way.
Nah. Yeah. It's raw.
It's cool. It's a good vibe. You always have Sickler wearing some sort of Baltimore sports team. Always like the Ray Lewis jersey or something, and it just creates a great vibe. And you guys are getting some killer guests. I mean, you just had
you guys too, you know.
I mean, we just try to keep up with you guys.
Basically, we're just having a little podcast circle jerk right here, fella.
You guys go Anna Faris, we go Blake Anderson from Workaholics. I mean, it's just kind of like back to back,
bang time,
dude. Anna Faris, that was a great get, dude.
Yeah, it was awesome.
She was.
I love Blake, by the way, though.
Yeah, he's the best.
I mean, I love that show. Those guys are all fun.
Do you really?
Yeah, dude. I mean, anytime you put it on, it's just hilariousness.
I start because I know their demo. Blake was telling us is like it's so funny how he's like, dude, sometimes. Because it was starting to get sponsored by beers and stuff. And they're like, dude, I was like, it should have happened a long time ago. He's like, I know, man, but, you know, our demo is so young that, like, they don't want to, and we're not too responsible sometimes when we drink. And he's like,
what do you mean sometimes? The show's based off their irresponsibility.
Yeah. And he kind of was touching on the fact that he's like, I was like, dude, so these fucking 12-year-olds are cock blocking you from beer money. He's like, kind of, man. I wish they'd fucking go to bed or pick up a book.
That's tight.
I mean, like, I know how Adam and I came across to do a podcast together. Like, did you and Ryan know each other?
I was on littlepeople.com, and I was looking for
absolutely.
Love.
And he was. And
just a little bit.
And I was looking for a guy that could not only hold me at night, but also do my taxes. And I thought,
boom.
Adam Ray, ladies and gentlemen.
Boy, you
Adam
thought wrong, Ray. Man. I am terrible with money.
I know.
That's why Brad's in the hole right now.
I just want enough money to have someone handle my money.
Yeah.
Can I pay you to manage my money?
Yeah, dude.
That's good. That's a good time. When you could just be like, and that trusting too, just like, hey, here's a grip of money.
Say that now.
Make it into some
cut
shit.
Into like 10 years from now, the true Hollywood story. Like, Jay Larson gave his money.
Is that a sign of making it if you have a true Hollywood story?
No, I think that's a sign that you lost it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's going to have their story. Everyone has their plight or whatever. But
unless you're part of a collective situation, like Saved by the Bell, E! True Hollywood Story. That was more about like, let's celebrate what happened, but get down to the fucking real juicy
detail. Yeah, let's get down to what everybody wants to know.
Did Slater fuck Belding? You know, like everyone wants to know.
God, that was like the first show that I would watch as a kid. I'm like, oh my God, I would love to have. And I didn't even know what sex was. I'm
dude,
like, just whatever,
I just told you that the
whatever.
Who was your girl?
Well, I mean, I loved Kelly, but I had this little like this little thing for Jungle Lisa Fever, Turtle for over sure there. I'm like, did, Lisa Turtle, and what's her face? I mean, all three. Because
Lisa
them,
was like
care.
Came from money, and you know right. she was like a good girl, but like you know probably.
Yeah, I bought my
she
all
get freaky.
Stacey Dash is my all time favorite. Like my wife one day came in, she sees me like looking at pictures of Stacey. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, babe,
you're not even jerking
like,
off. You're just looking at pictures. That's almost worse, dude.
Stacey Dash,
right? Because I mean, because like. I could see how that is worse because if your wife catches you jerking off has a function. Mm-hmm. Listen, I need to release. I need
Boy,
to.
Jay thought he wasn't going to learn anything today. But hey, man. Brad's going into his.
Jerking off has a function. Yeah. But if your wife just comes in and, or your girl and you're just staring at a woman,
yeah.
there's no function in that.
Yeah,
that's just you getting joy.
No
she
purpose.
Just said to me, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, God, I'm like, come on, you don't think she's good looking? I'm like, yeah, yeah. I always wanted that relationship, by the way. Like, I always liked the idea of being able to just talk with a girl about how hot a girl is. Like, I say to her all the time, and to encourage it, mm-hmm. fellas, if you're out there listening, or ladies, I always go, like, if I see, like, a dude that I think is good looking, I'm like, you think that guy's good looking? She'd be like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that guy's a good looking dude. Just to let her know, like, hey, listen, you want to talk about shit? Let's talk
dude,
about
that's dope, man. And has it become...
Nah. It's pretty much just going my way. She's never going, do you think she's pretty?
Of course not.
And I'm like, you cannot really the shit. She's all right.
Well, yeah. Well, because you can acknowledge it, but not to the degree that you really are
dudes.
Thinking.
Yeah. Like if I was with you guys.
Yeah. You just go like if you're going. Hey. So I was watching that, and you see that girl over there. Like she's a pretty good looking girl, and you can't be just be like, dude, the things I would do to that woman. I would rail. I would love to yank her hair. Like you can't do that. No, just go. Yeah. Kind of pretty.
But the best what you can do. Uh-huh. This is a smart one. Is when she thinks someone's pretty,
mm-hmm.
and you think she's. Decent, you just throw like, nah, she's all right, not my type.
Yeah.
You throw that, and then she's like, wow, look at that.
Look at that restraint.
Look at that restraint. Exactly.
Girls will get turned on by restraint these days.
And then there'll be ones like, I remember one time she goes, do you think she's pretty? And it was this girl who's like, not pretty, but she had this trashy vibe about her. I'm like, yeah. She goes, what? I'm like, and I just kind of like let her know too much, you know, like that's the kind of vibe you want to take down because
yeah,
it's like,
sure.
you know, like I used to connect. I was, you know, single mom growing up. So I was always the kid that got like felt like I was an outsider to everyone else. You
for
know,
sure.
I felt poor. I felt trashy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always like I used to hook up on the
DL. Is that fucked up?
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's to those feelings.
It's the thing that drives me, though.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I have that chip on my shoulder. Sure. Like, hey, I know. I remember walking home.
For sure.
Like when no one would drive me home and shit. And people like, can I give you a ride? I'm like, I'm good. I got it.
Dude, totally.
I got this.
Right? Yeah. At an early age, you're like, I can fend for myself.
Yeah,
just because
dude.
You feel like wow. you get the – because as a kid, more often than not, I don't think you are faced with that. Like you want a little – like you want some – like. Wanting assistance to that level of magnitude
yeah.
of where it's like,
but so
people know that you were like a victim a little bit.
Yeah. So I hooked up with a lot of girls in the DL that were just all other, not trashy, but considered, you know, like mm-hmm. poor or what, like, sure. you know, looked down upon because
they were
torsos.
Were in, yeah.
They were
yeah, dude, you can just say it.
We call them torsos.
Don't try to beat around
the
bush.
What is that?
I think it's just a term that you just made up right now.
A torso. Like they just like they're just half a body.
Oh.
Like those mannequins you see at like
yeah,
you know,
I know the ones.
Express or something.
Express. Look at this. This is a throwback episode, huh?
Holy crap.
All throwback.
Hey, wait, throwback like Express Men doesn't have good stuff.
You know,
nowadays.
If you're getting like a V-neck sweater, Frederick Nelson, you know?
Where?
Frederick Nelson, no. Maybe that was just Seattle.
Sounds nice. It sounds like I know those guys.
Yeah. Frederick Nelson.
You know how I know them? Because I was at in a clothing store in Minneapolis. You know, I kind of love clothes. And they had a whole Seattle, they had this whole brand, and it was that brand. Aren't they been around forever?
Nice. Yeah, they have.
Like, they make big, heavy wax coats and stuff.
Like North Face?
Nah. No,
Frederick Nelson. You are a very well-dressed dude.
Thanks.
Well, and, you know, I was about to say as a comic, but, like, in general you are, but comics I don't think are...
Well,
it depends. Depends where you're at in your career.
Yeah, it's like we're a profession.
Talk about
where
myself.
You can have jeans and flip flops and a t-shirt, and there's no one that says like you can't go on stage in that.
No, I know. I
like,
say
no
to
one
people
does
all
it.
The time. Like as a comedian, you could show up at a funeral and like underdress, and people are like,
right.
"Who's that?" I'm like, "Ah, he's a comedian."
Oh, I thought you were gonna say you can show up at a funeral and crush because people
crush
are in such
it,
a bad
bro.
Mood. Have you always been though cognizant of your wardrobe, like on stage?
Yeah, I've always kind of loved clothes. Although I wore flip flops the first time I ever did stand up.
Oh no shit!
Tell me about that
can
day.
You believe that? It was a good day.
Yeah. Where was it?
Dublin's. Remember Dublin's?
Oh shit!
Dublin's.
Yeah,
that was.
You were part of that.
That was the first time.
That was my first time. Yeah.
Was it one on the night when it was like the fucking comedy night?
It was when they did J Star doing Workout Wednesdays. And so Jay it was Davis, the next yeah. day. It was the Wednesday day. So
okay.
Yeah, I went first, did five, did really well. There was like 150 people there.
Remember, holy shit.
And they were like, Dane closed it, and it was all, you know, it was all pros. And
right.
Like, Courtney Cronin, do you remember Courtney Cronin?
Can't say that I do.
Anyway, she came
lead
up to me afterwards.
Lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls?
Yeah, dude.
There she is.
Oh, dude, I just wanted that song in that fucking Meg Ryan movie. Just to come, if you could have come with that real quick, that would have been tight.
Give me a second.
Wait, is it the Iris?
And I don't want the world to leave me.
Yeah, dude. You want to hear a quick little Goo Goo Doll story?
Yeah,
I was in a choir in high school. We had a choir orchestra trip.
Can we back up one second?
Yeah.
It sounded like my headphones are jacked. It sounded like you said you were in a choir in high school. There it is.
I was in a choir, Jay. Let me tell you about it.
What was it? What do you mean? Were you in the chorus?
Well, let me just tell you about some...
Because you have a pretty strong voice.
I give up forever to you. I know that you feel the same now.
Somehow.
I don't know words to any songs, by the way.
You're never going to get forever. What's he even talking about?
Dude, here's... all his songs...
Hold on a second. Just tell me how big this choir was.
15 people.
Oh, so it was like a little... Oh,
it was like a jazz choir.
In Seattle?
No, in high school. But we did a...
How many black people?
One.
Not a good choir.
No, not in Seattle, in the choir. You know, I was in the marching
band,
so like... I did all 4 years in marching band and concert band, so...
Did you really?
Yeah, I'm going to make fun of you. Yeah.
Okay, good.
How long did you do it for?
All through high school.
Oh, okay, because, cool.
I mean, it was a lot of the kids in the plays and the musicals that I did were also in these things.
Okay,
so it was
cool.
A great way to just to get... So we took this trip to San Fran.
And what people don't know is that's where all the sluts are.
And choir. Dude, was, and
choir, band, and drama.
Drama.
Those
drama.
Up with you, yeah.
High school theater, baby.
A lot of back
Thank
rubs.
You.
People giving a lot of back rubs. That was like foreplay. It was like backstage.
Well,
you want a back backstage back rub?
Yeah. Well, now that sounds way worse.
Yeah, it does.
But you had all that time. Like I was in the theater department. You have all that time in between rehearsals. And, you know, when you're not being used on stage and you're just waiting for your scene. And then it's just, hey, you want a back rub? It's perfect.
Yeah.
So we're in San Fran, a great America, performing, right? And the day before, we're at our hotel, and I see this guy, lead singer of Goo Goo Dolls, but I have no idea, because I think there's internet around, but I just don't know what he looks like. All I know is that I love the way I feel when I hear Iris by Goo Goo Dolls.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's singing it. So I see this guy at the bar, and I'm like, I'm going to go see if I can try to order a drink, because I, you know, looked a little older, whatever, my voice was about this deep, maybe... Trying to make me cry telling a story. It's not an emotional story, but it's starting to feel like one.
I'm trying to set the mood, buddy.
So,
I'm at the bar.
You didn't know who he was?
No.
Okay.
I sit down at the bar, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to chum up this guy who's here, who's fucking hammered, by the way. And it's this guy. His name's like John fucking
Resnick.
Something. Yeah, there.
Not
is.
That I know that.
Wow. What's up, Wikipedia? Goo Goo Dolls fan club.
He came from something else, didn't he?
Johnny Resnick?
Yeah, wasn't he another band first?
Called Emotional Bangs.
Hilarious.
I don't know.
He was actually played lead guitar in Tracy Chapman's band for a while.
Oh, really?
Nope. But I turned that down
Christ.
From it. So so I'm at the bar. I start chumming him up. I'm like, yeah, man, you come here a lot. He's like, what's that, man? Just fucked up. And I'm like, oh, man, he's hammered. So I chumming him up. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm here with a singing group. He's like, hey, you sing? I sing too, man. I was like, oh, it's fucking. I don't know why I'm making him sound like a drunk Bono. But
and British. Yeah, he was British. For
like, oh, what's up, man? Yeah. And there was a little bit of that because you're so fucked up. Yeah.
Halfway. Sounds like fucking Arthur. Like he's going to go, ha
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Randy. I was very cold to tell me about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he sounded like. And
Sweet.
So then, and I was like, "Yeah, we're singing in the park tomorrow." He goes, "I'm singing in the park. We're just singing together." He's fucking like, and I was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, man." So I started. I'm just totally like buying it and like and setting him up to just be like, "Yeah, man." And I'm like, "What are you drinking?" He's like, "You want a drink?" I was like, "Yeah, man." He orders me a drink. The fucking guy knows who he is. I still don't. Mm-hmm. So he's like, "No problem." Didn't even question to like ID me.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there. I'm looking over at my buddies, being like, "I'm fucking getting a drink." You know?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, dude? Because it was like, you know, you're in high school. We're at the hotel. It's late. What are you gonna do? Drugs?
This is a huge get at this point.
This is also this is what's entertaining. My group of friends at this time. It's like,
sure.
What do we do now? You want to go check out, you want to go fake play that piano that doesn't work? Or like, hey, is Kristen, who's staying with Kristen? We should go knock on the door, see if they want to like walk to the vending machines or whatever.
That's all you can do at 16.
So I start drinking with him. And then he's just like, I'm singing tomorrow too, man. I was like, oh yeah, you in a band? He goes, yeah, man. He goes, you ever heard of the Goo Goo Dolls? And I was like,
did he lean in like that?
For sure he did.
Yeah.
He was fucked up, dude. And I'm like, yeah, man. He goes, yeah, it's my band. And I was like, what? And so then it turns from like, I'm just like trying to impress my friends to now I'm like, you guys get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
I'm
totally.
I'm going to have a moment.
I'm going to try to get some tickets for tomorrow. And then, dude, and I was like, are you singing what time tomorrow? He's like, I don't even know, man. I should probably get out of here. Talk for a few more minutes. He's like, good luck in your show. Fucking gets out of there. Dude, the next day, they were performing. We were like setting up, so we had a couple days to hang out in Great America before, but they played at like 11 a.m. Dude, it was the worst show I've ever heard from afar.
Oh, because he was just so hungover.
He must have been. I feel like he stayed up in maybe another 3 hours because he was just like, dude, singing, you know, why don't you slide? Come on, not a minute, fucking down. I think at one point he was just like, you know, not saying lyrics or like it.
Oh, that was them too, huh?
Yeah, dude.
It's a good song.
Yes, how does this one start?
In my ear.
I think it could, dude. Could you whisper in my ear? Was replaced by like, could you get me another beer? I've been drinking since 10. Stayed up all night. Got a fight with Ben.
Where are you, Adam?
Yeah. You said you'd be right here. Had a moment at the bar.
Oh, that fucking Iris song though.
Did you ever want the song, man? Did you ever want to be in a band? I feel like comedians, rock stars, they go hand in hand.
No. I always kid around my wife, though, that she wishes that I had been a musician, not a comedian. You know what I mean? Because she loved music, and I think she always just gets a fucking bone.
They all do, man.
Well, but you were in the band, though.
Yeah, I
did. But did you play, like, clarinet or something?
I played drums.
We were pathetic.
We were pathetic. You know, I had one trip that I remember marching band. And I've told this before on my podcast, but I'm going to tell you because the story is
his
so crazy.
The Crab Feast.
The Crab Feast.
Fuck, Ryan Sigler. Five stars.
We go up to Montreal for this like band trip, freshman year in high school. And there's one of those girls that I used to fool around with that was also like had like that little stigma of being like, you know, whatever. And we're in my room. We fool around. And I remember I had like not tidy, they were red, but they were like tidy whiteys. You know what I mean? They were, what do you call it? Briefs?
Briefs.
Yeah, okay.
Boxer briefs? Or
no, just straight briefs.
Straight briefs, okay.
Red as a freshman, right?
Nice.
Classy. Silk?
No, just straight cotton.
I don't know why I pictured you in silk boxers right now.
I don't know, man. But
I don't know why I smiled so big after I said it. But whatever.
We all have a thing. And so we fooled around, and then I took my underwear because it was soiled. And I'm like, where can I put this? I'm like, oh, I'll just hide it under my bed. Because we're sharing a room with like there's four guys to a room, you know? So I hide it under the bed. I'm like, I can't have anyone know this, you know?
Yeah.
And I leave. And one of the guys that we shared the room with was a little weird, okay? He was real weird. He went on to like write plays and stuff like that. So later in the day, I come back to my room and I go into the bathroom. Are you ready for this? My underwear is in the sink. With ice and water, like in like a pool of ice water with ice. And then there's a sign, a piece of paper with written on it over the sink that just says cold shorts. And the letters are like squiggly, like if you were frigid writing the letters. I'm like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? I grab my underwear. I'm like, hit it again. I'm like, oh my God, like someone knows. But it was, I don't know. I've never got any explanation.
I don't.
I'm almost positive
like
it was him.
A horror movie.
It was, yeah. It was weird. It was almost like, I know what you did.
Yeah, and that was a weird, instead of just like laying it out on the bed with like a note and maybe just him sitting there being like, hey, dude, I found these.
No, okay, that just got even weirder. Why does he have to be sitting there with a note and then tell me how he found them?
I'm saying that would be less weird than putting it in fucking ice.
I mean, he could have been in the room.
Underwear on the rocks? You didn't ask for that.
I didn't ask for those on the rocks.
That sounds like a bad Neil Diamond song. Underwear on the rocks.
He might have been in the room when it went down. He might have just,
I don't know.
Well, no, he was under the bed because that's where you threw him, so.
I know, yeah, well, maybe I hit him right in the face.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure we got to call
a
in.
Fucking Eckersley sidearm right at him.
I'm pretty sure we got to call in Scooby-Doo for the mystery of the red underwear.
This one guy I think I could reach out to ask. We'll see. If I get to the bottom of it, which I haven't tried to, I'll get back to you guys and report back.
This happened back.
We'll take you in a second for that, yeah. That story.
This happened back in Boston.
1990.
Okay.
One.
And where'd you grow up exactly in?
Stoneham, Mass. 15 minutes north of Boston up the up 93.
Okay.
We know nothing about that.
Yeah, well, you know now, bro.
What's Stoneham, Mass known for?
Nancy Kerrigan.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Mario Cantone.
I was just talking about
Mario Cantone.
Yeah. And Hello. The lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls player.
Shut up.
No, but you know what? Look up Wikipedia, please.
Okay, I will.
Go to Stoneham, Mass.
Stoneham, Mass.
And look up...
top five famous people from
Stoneham, Mass. Say famous people. There is like a weird musician that lives in my town. I don't know. We didn't know.
John Popper?
No. But Nancy Kerrigan and Mario Cantone are the two.
I was just talking about Nancy Kerrigan yesterday because we were talking about how crazy that was that Tawny Harding took it upon herself
to do that.
And how, oh, no, who was it? It was one of my buddy's moms thinks Nancy Kerrigan. That's what we brought up. He was like, dude, she always thought Nancy Kerrigan was like just a goody two shoe, dirty whore, and was so stoked when Tawny Harding took her out. It was like, she had it coming. She's too fucking perfect. And it was like,
can you imagine? This is people don't understand the scrutiny that you go under as a famous person. Not me, but I mean, I get emotional over reading YouTube comments when people post.
Right. Have you had some pretty gnarly ones?
God, Jesus.
Really?
I mean, just ones that you're like, God damn it, you're fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You get so, you're like, right. You don't know what you're talking about. That's what you get. That imagine being an Olympian.
Side note, Stoner, Massachusetts, named by EliteDaily.com to be one of the 10 best cities in the U.S. for stoners to live in.
Great.
Just throwing that out
there. Small town, 25,000 people. But can you imagine just being a professional athlete and someone trying to maim you?
No, dude.
And then people having a negative opinion of you because you were maimed? That's crazy. Yeah.
That's also like, that was such a bold move. I mean, that to me, I mean, it was a big deal, but I mean, I feel like there's certain things that happen like that or OJ or the guy eating the guy's face in Florida, things like that I feel like should be bigger deals for longer than 2 weeks or a month because it's like you hired somebody to club in the finals.
She still performed.
Yeah.
Tawny Harding. People always go, oh, because remember the Nancy Kerrigan was screaming, why me, why me, and everyone just
never
picked
forget
on her?
It.
It's like, I used to do a bit, I'm like, if you were fucking in your cubicle and some dude in accounting had someone come down and club you, you'd be like, dude, what did I do? Why me? You know what I mean? You'd be like, why not Oksana Bayul? Why did you go after her?
Who's also working
team?
Here at Frederick
and
Nelson.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good reference, by the way.
I plucked
Oksana
it.
You pulled out the Oksana Bayul.
Yeah, but she was the next generation. She was
Understand, too. When Nancy Kerrigan's from your hometown, you followed figure skating.
Was she like the biggest? I mean, I can't imagine.
Dude, she was like...
internationally.
Every year, Winter Olympics, what are the big things that we don't give a shit about?
Cool Runnings DVDs.
Figure skating. Speed skating. Yeah, remember every year? Dan Jansen. We've never heard of this guy.
Before Apollo Ono, there was Apollo Dan
Ono.
Jansen.
Apollo Ono does Subway commercials.
Yeah, dude.
And we don't care. We're not following him throughout the regular year. You don't even know where they compete.
Yeah. By the way, the Subway commercials are awful. He's just like, you know what I like? Tuna.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And then he just smiles and holds a piece of bread with nothing in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Dan Jansen, like, skating is always the best. So when Kerrigan...
And who's the chick? Bonnie Blair.
Bonnie Blair was the skater, right?
Bonnie Blair was the
speed skater. Well,
yeah, was the female
speed
skater.
How about Christina Kim? No. What's her name? That's a girl
Michelle
I went to college with. Michelle Kwan.
Yo, Christina, what's up, girl? Yeah,
I don't know who's more racist. You for just saying Christina Kim, just a random Asian name? Or you for knowing exactly who he was trying to refer to?
Yeah, right.
Well, no, there's
just
only
like
one
a random Asian name. You're like, obviously Michelle Kwan.
Well, there's only one great Asian figure skater.
Oh, why you dishonor my family?
Seriously, there are people that are upset right now. They're like, is this son of a bitch serious?
Look it up right now. Google it.
Okay.
Let Google.
No, did you find out who the musician was?
I can't. I've been looking up. It just says Dr. Seuss was born there.
Really?
Dude, why didn't you open with that fact?
It's not. That's not right.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Stoneham. S-T-O-N-E-H-A-M.
Oh, Stoneham.
Yeah.
I thought you said Stoner.
No, Stoneham.
Oh, Stoneham.
Stoneham.
Fucking
Jesus.
Accent, bro.
Brad doesn't even smoke pot, and he's got pot on the brain.
It's just everybody in Massachusetts.
H-A-M-E?
H-A-M.
Okay.
H-A-M. Now, it's life in Stoneham, how do you get into comedy being out there? Are people, is it just like what you're observing and you're growing up, or was your family funny, or like?
Honestly, I think it probably comes from the fact that I spent my whole life just trying to make sure everybody was having a good time. You know, because my dad wasn't around, so it was like,
the same shit.
How does everyone, let's make sure mom's happy, let's make sure Adam's, you know, like that would be my deal. But like, you know, there's a heavy...
You don't even think about trying to be funny. You're just like, I want people to have a good time so that...
And
you,
I want everyone to
all
like
All of a sudden, something in you just like comes out as far as being like,
yeah.
All right, I got to figure out how to entertain.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, 100%. But I mean, don't forget, like, Dane Cook is from Arlington, which is two towns over. Okay. Jay Leno's from Andover, which is three towns over.
So comedy was kind of shoved in your face because of the people...
No, I mean, I didn't know who those guys were then.
Oh, okay.
But like, Boston's just a... I mean, my mom took us to see Bill Cosby when I was 10.
Jesus.
And I remember being young, and my mom would stay up late and watch Johnny Carson, and I would sneak downstairs and hide behind this blue chair. Like, it'd be 11:30 at night, and I was probably eight. and I'd just stare and watch Johnny Carson. I thought he was the funniest guy in the world. I was just like, is this? What's he doing? You ever watch all of you guys listening out there, do yourself a
Killer Kowalski.
Killer Kowalski.
Professional wrestler was from Stoneham.
Hey. if you go back and watch old Carson clips, it's more progressive than anything that's on TV right now. Like, he was breaking boundaries then, dude. He really was.
You talking about Mike Ness from Social Distortion?
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
I told you I didn't know it, you know.
Yeah, well,
what would you do if it
he's
was
from there? Else? He's
if
from was... there, and fucking Social D is a great one.
Yeah.
So,
there you go.
Nothing wrong with that.
Wait, okay, so I'm trying to make everybody happy, but then, like, as far as, you know, there's always a point for everybody where you're making people laugh, you're being a good storyteller. That's, like, for me, that's how it started. Like, I was finding myself in more and more situations at school, at parties, retelling things.
Yeah.
That even if it didn't happen to me, somebody was like, he tells it good, but it happened to me. So I would retell it, and people were like, oh, shit. Like, and then I would start to, you know, you sort of become aware of the reactions you're getting. So, like,
I was just, I was funny. And all my friends at home tell great stories. Like, they're all very funny
dudes. You had funny friends.
Well, they're all, I mean, they're funny dudes. But I was the guy who's always willing to go the limit. You know what I mean? I was always the dude that was, like, not afraid to ask a chick out. I just was never afraid to, like, go the mile that would entertain everyone. Just like you were saying about, like, going up to the bar and trying to get booze, you know?
Yeah, people ask me if I was, like, the funny one growing up. It's like, no, my friends are way fucking funnier than me.
I think most comedians say that.
Yeah, but, like, we're just the ones that are the...
Willing to do it.
Yeah, just the dumb asses who are like, yeah, I'll do it in front of people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think I'm definitely the best at all my
friends. Yeah. I don't know about you guys.
I also have five friends, and they're all torsos. But.
My buddy will say this. I'll tell a story, and you'll be like telling the story. Like, nah, wait a minute. You left out a detail. And they come in with their two. Like, sure. I did a college in Boston with Tommy John again.
Nice.
And then, like, a bunch of my high school and college friends came out, and we were going to get a drink afterwards. And I said, Tommy, I'm like, you want to come with? He's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, we're walking the bar. I'm like, I'm just going to give you a heads up. You're going to hear a lot of stories here tonight.
Yeah,
and he goes, dude, he goes, I love stories. And I'm like, all right, we'll get ready. And then, boom, as soon as you know it, Rye starts telling a story about Dave, and Dave's. They're both layering it. It's like you're watching twins talk or something. You know?
Yeah. And do you think that really influenced your style? Because if you've seen any of your three Conan O'Brien appearances,
yeah, man, is that some sort of record?
No,
I think Gene Pompa's got like 37.
Yeah,
but but your jokes are very. You're not a setup punch guy.
No, never have been.
You are a storyteller, and like I think I did that gig with you recently in lovely Oroville, California.
But this guy destroyed.
So it was Oroville, California, at a casino where no one knew us. No one. It was me, you, and Tom Segura.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, real quick. Oreville Casino, is that like Oroville Redenbacher's casino?
It's just a big casino made out of a popcorn.
You know, party.
Awesome.
Yeah. All the slots, you don't get changed. You just get
just like
pop secret, motherfucker.
She's like, I can't even feed into this right now. All right. So that was the gig.
But it was a great gig. But no one. I think you had like, you did like a 15 to 20 minute set. You maybe had two premises, like two bits, the entire time. And but they're just long ass stories, but they're just peppered in and they're hilarious. Now, so like, was that style born
from
those
friends? I think it comes from a couple things. Like, I grew up around all old people too. Like, my life, when I was born, my Aunt Lil was 72. My Aunt Rue was probably, they were all in their 60s and 70s and stuff like that. And then they all lived to, like, Auntie Rue passed at 100, Auntie Lil 102, Auntie Gert 98, Uncle Ray 99, and my Nana 88.
Holy shit.
So they were all around. And so my life was with no debt, like, and I was a night owl. So
you're like Charlie Bucket, man.
Yeah, a little bit, dude.
They still be in the same bed.
Yeah. I would stay up late, always sitting around like the kitchen table and like dining room table, just listen to them all talk and just always around old people. So I was just
had to
listen.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was cool. I mean, I wouldn't trade it in for the world.
Yeah, because you got those stories.
But what would you pick up on? You're saying
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's like asking Griffey, like, dude, where'd you get that? I mean,
for sure, which I have, and he didn't respond to my text.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's not him because I don't have his number.
He was asleep at the time in the dugout.
Whoa, too soon, man.
Too soon.
Dude, we'd like to forget that.
Hey, gee, no biggie.
Wow.
So I don't know. I just kind of, and I've always just liked, I just always don't like a joke that hits you over the head. Sometimes I want people to figure it out on their own. I used to say this used to be my way of comedy. I used to say I didn't care if people laughed at the joke. I just wanted them to be laying in bed at night, reach over to turn off the light and start laughing then. You know what I mean?
There you
oh,
go.
Shit.
Like they're like, oh my God, that's so funny.
That
like
was.
That is so like, you know.
Well,
is that because you're sitting there like telling it to them again right before they go to bed?
I follow him home.
Okay, he follows his pants home.
Hey. You laugh at this motherfucker.
But like, I love your style of comedy, and I like comics where when they get off stage, I feel like I know them as people.
Totally.
Yeah. Sure.
And like, cause like you get off stage, you tell two stories, but I still feel like, oh, okay, this is who this guy
yeah,
is.
Yeah. I think when you get off stage and you're like, hey man, and somebody asks you a question about that story, you go into a whole other section of it that you probably don't even tell on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really, dude, it's a tough thing to get to, I feel like, because, you know, there, and obviously some comics have a little bit of heightened, we're all a little bit heightened versions of ourselves up there, because you're performing.
You have to be.
Yes. Yeah, it's just you with the volume.
But, I mean, you know.
Do I really give lap dances to random people on the street? Okay, occasionally.
Yes.
But
depends,
not all the time.
Depends how blind you are. But, yeah, I mean, but to really, like, that always to me is, like, that's why I love Burr so much. And, oh, like, because, sure. like, when you feel like you're getting that they are who they are up there, and you could continue a conversation after. And I don't know how you get to that point, but, I mean, it's so you didn't plan from the get-go to do set up punch. So, I mean,
I didn't plan to do stand-up.
But telling stories. Oh, really?
No, I moved to LA to write and act. That's why I moved here.
Oh, shit.
And before I did Dublin, what happened was I was like waiting tables, mm-hmm. you know, like everyone else in this town.
Yeah.
And in 1 week, like three people were like, you do comedy, you stand up. And I was like, no. I was just always crushing at tables. And
that's awesome.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, dude, just great destroying.
Like, what were some of your lines?
I didn't have lines. I would just come up and I'd rip people. When I bring down their dessert, like if there's two people eating dessert,
man.
I would set down the dessert with one mm-hmm. spoon for one person, one for the other, and then I put a third down, and they go, what's that third spoon for? And I'm like, glad you asked. And I just, boom, take the first bite and walk away, and they would be done. I mean, I built rapport.
Oh, yeah, sure. This wasn't out of nowhere.
This wasn't an opener. You know?
Yeah, you don't open with the rape joke.
Yeah, exactly.
You build up to it.
So it was like, I love people, man. I love interacting with people. I love talking to people. I love pushing people, seeing what I can get out of them.
Oh,
see,
my God.
Like, you know,
you should have worked at Universal Studios with me, dude.
Oh, that's right.
When I played that New York cop, that was my last job there. That's all it was, dude, because I wasn't from anything, so I could create my own character. I used to do a bit about that where kids would be like, you know, what movie are you from? I was like, oh, I'm from a little film called I Got a Theater Degree, and this is where it fucking got me. but like, literally, I could do anything. But it was like, and getting to push and like really just...
Were you doing like, all right, moving along now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I had a big Orville Redenbacher mustache, and I have to bring him back up again. If you're playing at home, that's drink two. every time you say Orville Redenbacher. But I had like a Chicago, I'd be like, you say
Waterworld statue too. You might want to go see that show. You know, John Stamos in the park today, so you can be on the lookout for that.
Stamos!
I mean, a lot of things. I do things like, you know, my standard bits.
Fuck John Stamos.
Yeah, he hates Stamos.
He hates Stamos.
He's afraid of dwarves. But my main bit was I'd blow a whistle at old ladies walking and be like, slow down, man. You're going too fast. It's not a race, all right? The park's going to be open.
Classic.
And, dude, they would love it, man. And then, you know.
I used to hug and kiss old women. Like
at the restaurant?
They would walk in the restaurant. I'm like, get over here. And I give them a big hug. I'm like, how you doing today? And they're good. I'm like, I know you are. Look at you. She's fantastic.
Dude, you made their year, man.
And then I would grab the host. I'm like, can we get a table for my girl? You know what I mean? I love it. I'm feeling great. I've been working a whole chunk of stand up now like that. We're just losing connection between people. It's falling apart.
I
mean, it's going away. It's like you need more of that.
Yeah. Why is that? Why are we losing it?
Because of technology, bro.
Yeah. It's to the point where when you get a phone call, like before, your phone rang and you could answer it because you were excited to talk to fucking somebody.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, they're not texting me. Do I have to talk to them?
Well, also,
yeah,
you get to see who it is. That's kind of a, I mean, there's obviously pros and cons.
Everything's a caller ID. Yeah. It's, you know, it's.
No, and this is true. Jay does like to talk to people because after our gig in lovely Oroville, California, mm-hmm. it was me, you, Tom, and my girl sitting at the bar, and like these hill people would just keep coming up and talking to us.
Hill people.
Oh, yeah. That can only be that, the only words that they could be used to describe them.
King of the Hill people?
No.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just okay. Like, oh, damn it, Bobby. just coming up. Drink one for a bad impression by Brad. All right. Perfect.
we've been constantly making up, like, we throw those little references, like, drink. Like, if,
done.
You know, and so that, to the point where we asked, we're like, hey, all right, listeners, create an About Last Night drinking game. And mm-hmm. we got a ton of emails with, like, anytime you guys say that, you know, say, like, that's a band that's playing at the Troubadour, or anytime Brad references Carlos Mendoza. See it.
Yeah.
Anytime Adam brings up that he was in the heat, you know, which happens
Jesus,
a lot.
That,
yeah, that can't be a rule around Adam. It's yeah, yeah, a, yeah. just a just not been. All right, but so, like, so all these people are coming up, and Tom and me are like trying to like say like, oh, thank you, glad you enjoyed the show, have fun over there with the slots. And Larson's over here going, sit down, like,
I talk to people.
What's your story? He just kept diving in, and to some of the guys that were just shit faced. Like, I remember one guy walked up and he was commenting on the singer. Saying like something like you didn't like those songs, and you kept asking him,
we want the Goo Goo Dolls,
right? Yeah. And he's like, well, what kind of music do you like? And well, Tom and I are just like, why the fuck are you doing
well,
this?
Well, I mean, the other thing, you know, I love about drunk people. My favorite thing about drunk people is you can just say right to their face whatever the fuck you want. Dude, I'm not always nice. Sometimes they'll be like, yeah, man, maybe if you just walked away, that'd be better for everybody. You know what I mean? Yeah, just dial it back, bro.
You got to be careful with that sometimes. I was going to say, because sometimes they'll not register or think you're funny by doing that, or if they're in a certain state to where you don't have any rapport,
yeah,
you can't just dip the spoon right away.
Dude, I love – there's nothing – I just like honesty in general, like, and I just – you know, I remember we used to – I used to have this house – I didn't have it. I rented a house with my buddy Jordan in Venice, and we had the little back guest house that this other kid rented.
Yeah.
And I hated him. He's from Seattle, actually.
Shit.
And he moved out here, and I guess he was like
classless people.
He used to fly drugs across from Canada, like
what?
From Seattle. Like, that's a big thing up there, I guess.
Yeah.
Flying it over, and that was what he would do. So he would deal out of this little back area. I didn't care, you know, but he was just a douche. I hated it. He was a douche. The first day I met him, I used to live in the guest house, you know, and I told him that, and he goes, "Oh, come check my place out, man. See if you like it better with what I did than what you had." Like, that was his opener, and I was like, "You fucking."
Was this
douche.
Your representation of Seattle? Like, this guy?
Because no. I mean, I have my wife goes up to Seattle all the time. You know, right. She works at Nordstrom.
Yeah, dude, that's killer.
dude, stop. Hold back with the name droppers, man.
Seriously,
Nordstrom. That's a big deal. Dude, Nordstrom crushes it up there.
Yeah, it's a great company too.
Yeah, do you get hooked up?
Nah, well, I mean, she works for David Yurman, which is a jewelry brand, which I'm wearing. Anyway,
there you go.
So this kid, we're having this barbecue, and he comes over, and I'm like, oh, man. So my good buddy Todd is working the grill, you know, one of my buddies from growing up, and he's working the grill, and this douche comes over, and he goes, hey, man. I'm like, hey, man. And he goes, I brought some booze over, man. I'm like, cool, man. If you just want to put it in the kitchen, I got a bar set up in there. And he goes, yeah, man, I got some Jack Daniels. And he put it on, like, the table next to the grill, and I'm like, cool. Oh, that's awesome, man. That's sweet. If you could just you want to throw it inside, that's cool. He goes, I got some Sprite. Puts that down. He goes, I got some Coke. And he drops the bottle of Coke, a cola, on the ground. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling him over and over, yeah, you can just put it inside. You can just put it inside. And he drops the Coke. And I go, or you can just go the fuck home right now. And he just pulls up and stares at me. And my buddy's looking at me like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I go, I'm sorry, man. You can just put it inside or whatever. And he just goes inside. My buddy, I look at Todd. I go, was that like mean? Was that rude? And he goes, yeah, Jay. And I go, dude, I can't fucking stand that guy. And he goes, well, he seems fine. I'm like, dude, whatever, bro. Fine, whatever, you know? 20 minutes later, my buddy comes. I'm out the front of the house by the hammock hanging out. And he comes out. He's like, dude, we get fucking talk to your boy. And I go, what happened? He goes, keeps asking me about the corn. When's the corn going to be ready? When's the corn going to be ready? Where's my corn? I go, what'd you do? I go, finally, I said to him, I go, you want your corn? He goes, yeah. And I took a piece off the grill and I threw it over the fence. I said, go get your fucking corn.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
That's like fucking eighth grade shit.
Yeah, I know. Which is
fucking take your food and throw it. Go get it, you bitch. Like, that's.
He didn't get it. He didn't get his corn that day.
Dude, but I love...
He didn't get his corn that day.
Dude, we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Danny Glover. Ever find yourself in a predicament where you ran out of cashews? Welcome to Danny Glover's Cashew Farm on the corner of 4th and Laurel. We got cashews for days. Except for Friday. We're closed for the holiday. Welcome back to the show.
What's the holiday on Friday?
I don't know. Danny Glover...
Everybody take a drink. Take a drink.
Glover.
What's the holiday on Friday? That's a great question. Well, Shabbat, probably.
Yeah, Danny Glover's celebrating Shabbat.
What would that sound like, Adam?
Dude, that's a Tyler Perry movie waiting to happen.
It is.
Tyler Perry is Danny Glover's Shabbat.
Madea's Shabbat.
No, Madea's Danny Glover's Shabbat.
Madea's Danny Glover's Shabbat. Don't make me make you too old for this shit. I'll break this menorah off in your ass.
And that's Danny Glover.
That's nice.
Drink one for a bad impression.
No, talk about the dude that went through a lot of shit, dude. That guy. Tyler Perry, you ever heard that guy's story? Ooh.
What is it?
Not good. Not good.
I don't even know what it is. All I know is Oprah and drag. That's all I know.
Did he say
about
it on Oprah? Like being molested as a kid? And
what,
stuff like
watch
that?
Oprah.
That's right. And then he found God and he just like
and
made millions.
Just, yeah. I mean, he's still.
Dude, that was the one time I was like, oh, shit, maybe I should get more religious. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, no, I don't think it came. Yeah, he just had drive. You know, that guy had drive.
I would like that would make you get more religious, like the whole God and everything else. You're like, nah, but oh my God, a black guy in a dress tells me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about it.
Hey
now.
Man, it doesn't matter where you find your God. You know who said that? Tyler Perry. All right, so you've done Conan 3 times. You like stand-up. You looking at my candles?
I just like that your candle, the scent is called Mantown.
Just got that one. That's a new one fresh on the...
Is that for real?
Our listeners know that the candles have become... From the get-go, I was like, you know what? How are we going to set ourselves apart from other podcasts? Also, I was just like, I love...
Quality? Nah. Yes, nah. Candles, bro.
Candles, motherfucker.
Yeah, let me tell you, I've always loved candles, even in high school, man.
Me too.
Because I just love... Dude, who doesn't want fucking vanilla cream cake... Fucking filling up your room.
Did you hear my opening line on Conan was, I just thought I was a guy that liked to have candles lit during the day.
Yeah, dude. So funny.
God, I love candles lit during the day.
You're fitting in here perfectly, bro.
I know.
Dude, yeah. But that one's called Mantown, and we were trying to dissect that with Blake as far as like what – because it's like a guy watching TV right on that thing.
Sports.
Is that what it smells like?
Yeah, just smells, no. Smells like a jock strap.
No, it smells like a woman. I mean, I've always liked, I never liked colognes that were like, I like flowery colognes. I used to have a cologne that was smelled like grass.
Cool water?
Cut grass. No, never.
You have cool water?
I had Calvin Klein, and then I had this one that smelled like grass. And then
that was a Scottie Pippen cologne.
No.
He had a cologne for like 2 weeks.
He did, I know.
Jordan
did.
Came out, Pippen was like, again, I'm going to fucking try to follow in your footsteps.
And it was just called Forehead by Pippen.
Yeah.
Forehead. Wait, so okay, so you love colognes. What was the grass one?
It was Gap. It was like a Gap grass and then Gap Earth.
Gap Earth?
Oh, yeah. Just flowery. I liked flowery. Like, dude, I used my mother's deodorant my whole growing up. I never had my own. I'm like, nah, I'll use my mother's.
For sure. Ban?
Ban, yeah. I don't know. No, it was
Ban was
sure.
A woman's deodorant.
It was definitely sure.
Dude, they were sure, though. Women always say, hey, dude, I mean.
pH balance. Dude, I'm pH balance. It's like, I think something happened. I got pH balance. I'm like too fat.
Wasn't that their slogan? pH balance for
a woman.
For a woman.
Yeah,
strong enough for a man.
Strong enough for a man. But
pH balance for a woman.
So you're, so you're walking that going, oh, fuck, I'm pH balance.
I've had sweat problems since fifth grade.
Is that on your resume?
Mm-hmm.
Why, when I type your name into Google, does it auto finish Jay Larson obituary?
No, it doesn't, does it?
It does.
It. I don't know. Usually it auto finishes wrong number. That's
Jay,
what ever comes
every
up.
Now and then on the podcast, we like to fucking just drop the fucking energy and the mood down real quick. And Brad's gone ahead and done that with.
Yeah. With why are you dead?
I'm dead, man. I'm dead inside.
What does that
actually
mean?
I'm just saying this podcast is like an episode of like Ghost Dad. Like,
I would love. Do you believe in ghosts?
That's a great question. No, but I did the Ouija board my senior year in college, and
anything come up?
Granted, I was a little high, and yeah. I think that might have contributed to my belief becoming stronger.
I was playing
that
with a girl, and Take Off Your Panties came up, and we were like, "What?"
And the Ouija, we had to do it. It was from the Ouija. No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. I believe in other.
You don't or you do?
I don't.
No.
Other life forms, for sure. I've gotten more and more secure in that. And not because Independence Day was a great movie, but because and because that was the most lifelike of the aliens, where I was like, that's probably what they would look like. Which, yeah. By the way, we are fucked. If they decide to come down in like 50, 60 years, Will Smith is going to be like 90. Dude, who's going to save us? His fucking son?
Jaden.
No, dude. That's a bad plan
B. Jaden's not saving shit, bro.
Nah,
that's a bad plan. He couldn't save the Karate Kid franchise. How's he going to save...
Too soon?
United States of America.
I don't think we're...
I just like the fact that in that movie, we all were saved because the aliens, with such advanced technology, had a form that would format perfectly with, like, MS-DOS. Like, we were able to upload a computer virus into their ship. It's like, we got, like, Windows 95. Is this going to work with this shit? Yeah. All right, good. Earth is saved.
Earth is good.
When you're doing Conan, I just want to backtrack a minute. What's the preparation for that like? And does Conan like greet you and like? I mean, obviously you're working your set.
The other 2 times he never did, but this time like I was, you know, like you come out of those curtains. I'm like just waiting back there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he came back and was like, "Hey, how's it going?" I'm like, "Good." He goes, "Crowd's tough tonight, man." You know, like he's big on like the crowd. Like last time I did it, when I did the wrong number, when I sat on the couch, he's like, "Crowd was horrible tonight." He goes, "I was worried like you coming up," and he goes, "But I think a story was perfect for them. I think they loved it." He goes, "Great job, blah,
dude."
Blah, blah.
It's a version of stand up. What he's doing, man.
Oh my god, it's stand up every night with brand new material every night.
And like even that's. that just shows how much of a professional Conan is, because his fans love him.
Yeah.
He could walk out and like fart into a whoopee cushion and people be like, it's genius. But like he goes
Brett,
out
I guess
there.
I'm not going on there next week because I was going to fucking do, but thanks for just telling everybody, Brett.
Sorry about that, man. It's a great bit. But like he goes out there and he still sells it, even though that his fans will still love him. He's still worried about it. He's still like, how are we going to make this better?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't just do the string dance for 15 minutes.
No, yeah.
And he goes out there and he kills it.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a sweet guy. I mean, that guy works. I mean, you know, I mean, remember that guy lost his show and he kept everyone employed?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's big
man.
Time.
Now,
yeah, it's really cool.
Like, I know from the guys I've done the Tonight Show, they say like it's a like 6 to 8 month process where like the show wrangler is constantly calling you, adjusting your set, going out. Like, you're like, it's a long process. Is that what it's like for Conan as well?
Well, the first time it was just like we worked the set back and forth, but then you know, the other two were stories and you know, the wrong number story, you know,
they can't fuck with that too much.
They knew it. They actually gave me 6.5 minutes. They're like, you have 6.5 minutes. You know,
dude, it's usually what, a four?
It's like 4.5.
Dude,
like,
that's so dope.
He's like, I already talked to EP. Everybody knows you get 6.5. I did it in 5.5 because I sped up the beginning because I just didn't want to lose people.
Yeah, sure.
And but then that hit, that video went viral. You know what I mean? So like, I was kind of like, my manager was like, I think you got yourself
million,
another
right?
Conan. Yeah, it went over a mil.
Dude.
So it's like, you kind of like, I earned my next set and I didn't want to not go do another story. I'm like, I got to do another story. And so, you know, the booker knew that story and he was like, yeah, man, I like that story. He actually called me the day before and was like, hey, man, I need someone for tomorrow night. Can you do it? And I was going to supposed to do it in like January. And I was like, yeah, man, sure. You know, so
that's dope. Great.
Now, the wrong number story referencing, I'm not going to ask you to do the entire bit, but that's a true story, right?
Like, yeah,
like
true story.
Like you were telling me that in Orville.
Yeah.
Look that up. I mean, I guess just YouTube, right? Jay Leshy Conan.
Yeah, look it up.
Like, what's the background essentially of that story?
Basically, what happened was and I've talked to the guy a couple times since I've called him.
For real?
Yeah, I asked him to do a documentary, man. I wanted to do a documentary.
Oh, that's
be
such
so
a good
funny.
Idea, dude.
And, so I've talked to him on the phone a couple times, and basically what happened was he runs a scrap metal business in New Jersey, but he volunteers his time to this Jewish federation in Los Angeles that sends Jewish people to Cuba. To Cuba.
I think Danny Glover's a part of that. So yeah, Danny Glover's Shabbat Cuba organization.
Yeah, basic stuff, you know, basic. And so he was calling them about this budget that he was handling for them, you know, like he was like helping with the budget and trying to figure stuff out, and he called them and he dialed one number off and he got me. He like literally missed one number and
take that and fucking look the clip up. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Because most people, when we get a wrong number, we just say, "Hey, man, sorry, wrong number."
Yeah,
not Jay Larson.
No, well,
that's again
I just...
your authentic enthusiasm for people and interactions. Do you chum people up at airport bars?
I chum people. Name a place.
Because that seems like an ideal spot for somebody like you.
Well, I mean, I chum up the TSA. I talk to everybody. My wife, like when we're around, she's like, "Do you always have to?"
Oh, yeah,
and I'm like,
say,
I like making people. I like making people laugh, you know?
In a cab or a shuttle.
Yeah, name it. Well, sometimes I just don't want to talk to people. Sometimes I want to turn off, you know what I mean? Don't want to be, you know, like have to be on. But when I'm out with like my wife, like we'll be like, you know, like ordering food at a restaurant and I'll lean over to some woman who's like looking. I'm like, what are you thinking? I'm like, oh, you thinking pasta salad? I'm like, looks nice, doesn't it? And then I'll look at the husband. I'm like, she's always on the pasta salad. She make a decent pasta salad at home? She looks like a good pasta
that's
salad.
That's amazing, man. Some people are on board, some people aren't, right?
I'd say 92% of the time people are on board with me.
Even out here, we're in a place where people are like, yo, why are you just talking to me out of the blue, man?
Yeah, I read people pretty well.
Well, because it's so refreshing. Because like you say, we're not talking to people anymore. So when someone actually
engages
your existence.
Dude, this is how crazy I'm getting. You know what I did the other day? There was a guy in
bought
line.
Bought some jean shorts?
You didn't take an old pair and cut them. You bought brand new.
That's crazy, Jay.
A guy was in line in front of me at the grocery store. I was running to get something. He had like 17, maybe 25 items, right?
Is he in the 10?
No. We're in the regular line.
Okay.
And I have my groceries, and he's got the divider in between the two of us. He's looking away, and I grab one of his things, and I move it into mine. I'm like, let me just see if I can.
Jesus,
let me just see
so
what happens
ballsy.
Here. And then he goes,
that's fucking great, dude.
And then he leans over. Then, like,
what was the item?
I can't remember. This was like 6 months ago. Dude, you're a big fan of those. I like strawberry straight up.
Dude,
I don't even toast. I don't even toast.
You don't toast. You put them in the freezer.
Yeah,
go
cold. No, I don't go cold. I go room temp. What do you do?
I toast.
Yeah.
Room, like a gentleman.
Room
like
temp. Room temp PTs. Like a gentleman. Fuck you. Wait, do you know there's like 40 flavors now? Just real quick. I was at Target the other day. There's literally like chocolate chip cookie dough. Fucking pumpkin pie.
Much.
And right. There's like nipple flavor. I mean, it's like there's every flavor you can think of now. Anyway.
Brown sugar, strawberry, maybe cherry. These are the
options.
Cherry.
These are the options.
Yeah, if it's 1996.
Hey. I like 96.
If it's 96 and there's a Tailspin marathon on.
Tailspin marathon, Friends is just getting started. Who doesn't like 96?
We brought Tailspins that came up on our podcast one day. Yeah. And I didn't know what it was, and everyone sent in pictures of the Tailspins with my face on them.
As Kit Cloud Kicker?
I don't know.
That's the fuck.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know, dude. I didn't watch.
It was Baloo. It was Baloo from Jungle Book and Kit Cloud Kicker. They flew planes, man.
I have no idea.
All right.
But so I'm in line. I take the guy's thing, and then he's like looking. Then like they're going through, and he goes, is that mine? And I go, oh, I don't know. Did you put it on this side? And he goes, no, I think that, I don't know.
He asked you if it was his. It's a great start to this.
Yeah. And I go, oh, yeah, man. I don't know. Go ahead. Go for it. And he grabbed
it. Go for it.
And then I just start talking to the guy. He's from Massachusetts. He was out for a wedding. This is just in line. Out for a wedding. I'm like, oh, where are you staying? He's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, dude, you know what you got to do while you're here. And I just, I don't know. I just love it.
Dude, are you like buddies with him now?
No. I wanted to like hang.
Who was that? Was that Jared Leto? Who was that? Dude, that's.
I just, that's my MO.
That's awesome, man. God, if more people were like Jay Larson, I mean.
I always, when I'm with my wife, we'll be out grocery shopping.
She's
like,
got to love it, though, right?
Oh, she loves it. We'll be around like a clerk and I'll grab something like off the shelf or something. I'm like, put that in your purse. Like right in front of people. She's like, Jay, cut it out, Jay. She's like, he's kidding.
Yeah.
He's kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. We're out of fucking paper towels. Put it in your purse.
Come on. I'm not paying for that.
Now, your thirst for getting to know people and stuff, was that why you flunked out of college? You weren't into studying?
Yeah, I mean, I was never studying.
From the get-go?
Never, dude.
Because you were like,
I did everything. You know what I did freshman year in college? I was on the baseball team. Mm. I was vice president of my class.
Good for you.
You know what I mean? I was
You were this
popular.
The same social gusto you have now, you had back then?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, that's killer in high school?
High school, dude. President of the class, freshman, sophomore year.
Woo.
I was student government. I was like on the student school committee of the whole school.
Shit. You like represented the kids?
Yes.
You were like fucking.
And it was all upperclassmen.
You were the Derek Fisher of Stoneham. fucking.
Exactly.
Good reference. Yeah, Derek Fisher.
And
NBA,
I did baseball, soccer, marching band, Boy Scouts. I was doing everything but studying.
But studying.
That's right. Kicked out of the Weeblos. By the way, maybe one of my favorite lines from that set.
You know who wrote that line?
Who?
Ryan Sickler.
There you go.
When they called me to do Conan, they were like, Sunday. Kicked out of the Weeblos. I called Sickler. I'm like, you got to help me run this. Because with that story, you know, the only thing about stories is people don't know who you are and you're just going to go into a story. Yes. So I said to Ryan, I'm like, help me build this a little bit so that I can like get into who I am. And I was going to say, you're a Boy Scout. And Ryan goes, got kicked out of the Weeblos. And I go, he goes, have it. And, you know, I mean, you know, when you guys have probably written with other guys before. And like when someone's got something to prep, you just... Or like when someone gets off stage, like, oh, dude, you give them a joke. And Ryan gave me that. I have a lot of jokes in my stand-up that are like... I could tell people, like, oh, Ryan Sickler wrote that.
Dude, that's Ford, not, that. Yeah, I don't do that enough, man. I really, Kirk Fox, when he just was here a couple weeks
he's
ago.
He's such a good writer.
Dude, and he lives around the corner, and he was like, dude, you want to go get coffee? We'll just fucking tag each other's shit. And I'm like, I just think about it today. I was like, I got to do that because, A, I look up to him so much.
Yeah.
And B, it's just like, the times that I have been with, you know, out with Saratella on the road or something, and we like go over stuff and we'll just. I won't basically just say, hey, help me with this. I'll basically like open it up for discussion so that like we can, you know, he can make me think in a direction I want thinking in, and then you riff back and forth, maybe pull something from that. But
hold
it's
on,
really
you just
helpful.
Reminded me of something. Talking about like me liking to do these gags and stuff, I pulled one of the greatest gags on you of all time, and I should have gone all the way through with it. Do you
the
remember?
Shit one. At your house?
No. Oh. No, not that one.
We talked about that with
at the hotel in San Francisco.
What gag was this?
Oh, wait.
With
the
toothpaste and the toothbrush.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
I wish I fell through. I didn't go all the way through. I thought it was going to get...
What'd you do to him?
Oh, my God. This is what I can't believe I forgot about
this. We smoke up in his hotel room.
Well, we saw... Dude, that was... What a great day.
You remember how much I was chirping with those people in line? That's how I am all the time.
Oh, my God. That's right. Well, let me be the guy to fucking tell that story. Dude, okay. I was at the Punchline. Sarah Taylor was with me. You were at Cobb's.
I was opening for Bobcat at Cobb's. Nice. He was at Punchline.
And, dude, it was... So we kick with Jay. We go get breakfast, and we, like, just go back to the hotel, and we're burning. But we go to this great breakfast spot, walking around for a while. Mm-hmm. Probably walked around the city of San Fran I mean, dude, like
we walked
the amount of time you could have watched 6 episodes of Full House in the time that we walked. And so
there's a good gauge of time right there.
We walked by one restaurant that we like. We're going to go to, I think.
My friend recommended. She's like, you have to wait in line, but it's worth it. Mm-hmm. We get to the line. It's long. And so I get in line and I say to this guy, I'm like, I go, hey, what's the deal here? He goes, oh, dude, best breakfast. And these two girls in front of him are like, oh, my God, it's the best breakfast.
And the line is super long. It looks like you're waiting for the urinal line at, like, Yankee Stadium Game 7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, like, they're selling tickets inside or something. And I go, like, what's so great about, like, what's on the menu that's so good? And the guy goes, dude, they get this sandwich called a Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
And I go, a Monte Cristo, dude? I could drive to the Madonna Inn right now and get a Monte Cristo. Who cares about a Monte Cristo?
Girl starts laughing and then turns around and gets engaged and then spoke up, I think, and was like, it is really good, though, whatever.
Yeah, and I go, all right. I go, whatever. She goes, where are you from? I go, we're from Los Angeles. She's like, oh, my God. Like, they just hated us.
Sure.
And so we're like.
And then for you, is that like a challenge if someone does that?
Yeah, like, okay, to get them to like me?
Let's go.
Yeah, and chirp in their face. And I go, what are you blogging over there? Are you blogging? She's like, we don't blog in San Francisco. And I'm like, are you tweeting? And she just hated it. So I'm like, we all decide, let's just go somewhere else to eat. We go to this other restaurant, sit down in the sun. Remember the guy was racist, too? Do you remember the racist moment?
Yeah, what would he say? I can't believe
Brad,
I remember all this.
This guy, I remember everything.
I love it, dude.
They have like a sign-up sheet outside the restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. And there's an Asian guy with a baby.
Okay.
Like his looked like probably his grandson.
Okay.
It wasn't like he was an older guy. And he's trying to tell this kid his name to put on the list. And the guy goes, what is it? And he keeps saying it over and over again, but he has like a heavy accent. And then finally he goes, can you spell it? And the guy spells it. And then the white kid looks back at us. He goes, oh, yeah, just like it sounds.
And we, oh my
and
God.
We were like, what the fuck is with this guy?
Dude, like fucking 11 a.m. racism.
Yeah,
dude,
it was on a little street. Much.
You got to be committed for 11 a.m. racism.
Yeah,
dude, yeah.
Big time. I mean, you have to believe it.
All I remember is all three of us like it just kind of collectively looked at each other like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And our table came up quick. We got lattes.
Okay,
we got pancakes for the table, I think.
Pancakes for the table. So Jay got pancakes for the table.
It was done.
And then, so we leisurely
We eat there.
Take our time. Maybe hour and a half, 2 hours. Get up. Take our time. Taking your time to push your chair in, to fucking say goodbye to the people. Say, hey, man, you know, it doesn't sound just like it reads probably. You know, try to clear up that little mistake.
Right.
And then walk back up the hill.
Well, these guys were like, let's get out of here. I'm like, no, let's go back to that restaurant.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
let's go back to the hotel and smoke. Jay goes, let's go see if those girls. Guess what? Maybe about, they'd moved maybe 40 feet.
No, they were close. I mean, still, you
still
had to get in. Yes.
Wow.
They were still in line. They were still not even in the hole or on deck to being like, hey, how many in your party?
Hour and a half.
So we go, Jay walks just a beeline right to him and just goes, oh, man. What?
I go, what are you guys doing? I'm like, waiting in line. I'm like, oh, we just had a great breakfast. I'm like, how are you guys feeling? You feel good? Like, oh, I feel stuffed. That was a great meal, right? And they're like,
starts listing what we
like,
got.
Whatever. We don't care. I go, guess what we're going to go do? We're going to go enjoy our lives. That's what we're doing to do. They're getting so annoyed. And then the dude who had been in line before, he had friends now holding his space. And then remember he came around the corner and goes, hey, there they are. And he says high five.
Yeah. And by the way, those girls, but just to continue to hit on how chummy, I mean, dude, those girls by the end of it, dying at this guy. I mean, he's crushing it. I feel like I do a decent job of like chumming it up if I want to and like making people laugh. But dude, on a whole nother, Jay on a whole nother level, dude. Like it was mind blowing. And these girls by the end were like, are you when they ask if you're a comedian and like, and then they were like, I think you gave them the card. They want to come see you. But they, dude, they were enamored with this guy.
There was like one guy laughing in a room. I'm like, easy red sweater. I see you.
Yeah, dude, Jay was fucking, you were,
that's my bread and butter.
But so then we go back to the hotel.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the toothpaste.
And we smoke up a storm, which is great because by that time it's fucking like 1:30. It's like we don't have shows for 7 hours.
Yeah.
We got
time
the day
recover,
in San Fran. Mark's like, I got to take a nap because I'm 45.
First of all, you're the only one who took a nap. Me and Mark, he goes, all right, I got to take a nap. And then I go to Mark. I go, you want to walk down the wharf? He goes, yeah, totally. I'm like, all right, quick. I'm just going to use the restroom real quick. Mm. So I go to the bathroom, and then like both of their toothpaste and toothbrushes out, or maybe it's just yours.
It's mine.
And I see it, and I'm like, ah. Oh.
Mark doesn't brush his teeth.
Okay. Yeah. And I go, oh, look, there's this toothpaste and toothbrush. So I grab the toothpaste and the toothbrush after I'm done, and I walk out, and I got one in one hand, and I'm acting as if I'm about to use it.
Right.
And I go, man, what a great breakfast, huh? And I go to put the toothpaste
he
on.
To squeeze the toothpaste on.
And this guy's just staring at it like, what the fuck is he doing?
Do you remember what my face looked like? I mean, yes. I remember the feeling that my face was giving
off. But no one like reacted.
Right. Also, because he didn't say, can I do this? He just commented on breakfast. So he said something that I would still have some, like, something that I would be enjoy. Like, yeah.
You have to always connect a little truth, sure. I think, you know.
Because in my head, I was like, breakfast was great. What are you doing with my toothbrush? Like, those thoughts were trying to connect. Yeah. But
looking at my toothbrush like, what the fuck?
I was still thinking about pancakes for the table, and I was just like...
And what I should have done is put the toothpaste on and start brushing my teeth, but I didn't. Mm. But like the...
Because I just stopped. And
I said to him, I just stopped and go, really? Nobody? Yeah. No one's going to... Yeah. No one. And he goes, dude, I'm just sitting here thinking to myself like, well, I guess this is just how Jay rolls. This is
what Jay does. I just thought it was going to happen. And you know what? Quite honestly, man, it was like, I didn't... if you had done it, I would have just been like... I probably would have let you do it and been like, hey, man, just ask, or maybe I wouldn't have said anything and then just got a new
toothbrush.
But can
you imagine anyone just grabbing your toothbrush and using it?
That's a dude. And,
not a girl.
Not sleeping with?
Yeah, a guy that I am sleeping with, sure. Yeah. But just a dude? No, I'm not going to let
that happen.
Have
you pulled that toothpaste almost brush your teeth trick before?
No, that was the first time, but I've used it.
Put it in the fucking
since.
Back pocket.
Yeah, that's ready to
that's
go.
That's a go-to.
Locked and loaded. But you know, next time
I've
I'm
never made the face
tilt.
That I made before.
It I'll was go like, full tilt next time. You have to.
You got it. Got to commit to that.
That face I made was like when, I don't know, I mean, just the shock. It's like when that kid, when I was, after my folks split up when I was 9 and then a kid on the playground, I was so gullible and kids knew it. Mm-hmm. We used to play a game on this podcast called What Will Adam Believe? We still play it every now and then. We'll make up one story and get two other stories and then read them to me and I have to pick which one's fake.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that this kid.
There's a show like that, a stand-up show called The Liar Show.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
On TBS.
Great. Now you're just like making me think that
I have a couple stories that I wanted to do in there that are true that would sound like lies.
You're going
to
tell one of them right after this because we got to take a break. Hi, I'm Danny Glover. Ever find yourself stuck in traffic and don't have your favorite tunes? Now that's what I call Danny Glover's favorite music, a new kind of CD. It's got everything you want. Goo Goo Dolls and... Yeah, well, that's pretty
DVD.
Much it.
Come on.
DVD.
Yeah, DVD.
You ever seen Pablo Francisco do Danny Glover?
No.
Oh, it's the best.
Put it in your mouth.
Put it in your mouth. Riggs.
Put it in your mouth. I want to hear Danny Glover from Angels in the Outfield, though, which is just, you got an angel with you. And then Tony Danza goes, I do? Yeah, look around.
He just wants to do Tony Danza.
No. Glover is almost like the Black Danza. Listen to it. Ready? Listen to it. Black Danza, by the way. You can find that at Rite Aid and Walgreens. It's a new kind of whiskey. Yeah. Black Danza. Well, here it is. Ready? Hey, you got an angel with you. That's Danny Glover. Here's Danza. Hey, you got an angel with you. Hey, you got an angel with you.
I think, I don't know what's happening.
We'll be right back with more. Is it Danza or is it Glover?
Danza or Glover.
Wait, no, but wait.
I have a question.
What was I? When I was 9, parents got divorced. 3 months later, kid on the playground told me they got back together. I didn't even know this kid at our school.
Shut up.
Yeah, dude. I believed it.
That is amazing.
And I went home and told my mom. I was like, dude, the whole rest of the day was like fucking Christmas morning. And I'm Jewish, so I was excited.
Have you done this on stage?
No.
You've got to find a way to make this funny. That is...
I used to do a bunch of divorce material.
Dude,
I don't do it anymore.
That is so funny that kid had to... Watch this. I mean, that kid's a dick.
Also, I don't even remember his name. It was a kid that I went to school with, but just I wasn't in class with.
Yeah.
And he told me he committed to. He said something about like his mom had talked to my mom. That's all I needed to hear. It was like,
Our
moms are friends. They like go to PTA. I register PTA because I know my mom's involved.
Done,
dude. I go home. She tells me no, dude. Her face. She did not want to have to fucking. It was like,
tell you again.
Yeah, dude. Imagine telling your son, "Hey, Santa's not real." And by the way, and then you take your face off, and you're also fucking like
Satan.
You know, yeah.
Imagine if she just been like. Adam, we're all back to get that kid hustled. Get out of here,
know,
you
she's
dumb
a sweet
fuck.
Lady.
I want to ask you real quick.
Sure, sure.
I can just go up and talk to people in public like it's no big deal, but you must get looks, no?
Oh, well, like
if you start talking to people, do people just be like...
No, they're all about it.
Oh, they're all about it.
We've been to Vegas at pools. I was telling somebody this last night. We were at Vegas a couple times performing at the pool. Brad's like, hey, there's a group of girls over there. I'm like, dude, go do your thing. You know
what
you're doing.
Tell me it.
Brad will walk. I'll sit there from 50 feet away, watch Brad walk over, talking. I see them all perk up. Then sunglasses come off from the girls. Then maybe 5 minutes in, Brad's shaking his ass, right? Doing something else. Then all of a sudden...
When you got an ass like mine, you have to shake it.
Dude, then he's doing something else. Then I see them all collectively. collectively laughing. There's always an ass shake, a group laugh, and then Brad turns to me and goes, and waves
me
over.
I wave him in,
and you would think the look on Adam's face is like Jay Bruner when he's got the like, go home, yeah, go home. Yeah. Quiffy's got in the gap. You're good. Go home. Adam's just like, all right, this is the best. But yeah, like I'm kind of like you in that I like engaging with people. I like, mm-hmm. like we did a bit that never aired on a Mind of Mencia. That was called What Can a Midget Get Away With? And it was just me walking on Venice Beach. I gave one guy a tattoo.
You gave him a tattoo?
I gave him a tattoo. And like the whole crew was like, why are you letting him do this? He's not a trained professional. He goes, it's a great story, man.
It is.
I gave a guy a tattoo. I started eating food off of people's plates and just like walking up going, oh, club sandwich? That's fucking delicious. And I just grabbed it.
Wow.
And no one hits me because they're like, I can't. Because people know that if they just stand up and punch me, doesn't matter what I did, people are going to look at a guy hitting a midget going, well, obviously that dude's in the wrong.
And
then they're going to jump in. So, yeah, like I know that I can get away with just about anything. Yeah, I gave the guy a tattoo of a dragon. It looked like a cat with Down syndrome.
Oh,
it
man.
Was just fucking, it was the worst tattoo ever. And he looked down like, yeah, I'm going to take this.
That's classic, dude.
It was great.
What is your – you said you had two stories, and we'll end on this.
What were they?
That you want to tell on that TBS liar show that you said you can't tell.
Oh, yeah.
About being gullible, right?
Yeah. I'll give you one. Basically, I used to live in this condemned house, you know, in Venice. I lived with this architect, and he bought it to tear down and build like his like dream home, or like put his stamp. Like this is the kind of buildings I would build.
Mm-hmm. First of all, to say you live in Venice, which not a lot of comedians do, and you love it out there. And I wish I lived out there. Why do you love it?
I live in Mar Vista now. This was a long time ago, okay. but it's the next door neighbor to Venice.
Different lifestyle, slower.
Yeah, I always liked it. I always like being chill. I kind of like, but you know, to be honest with you, I want to move out now. I want to move off the west side. I just want to be more active. Yeah. You know, we're having a kid in 3 months.
That's right.
So I want to like take that kid.
Buddy. God, you're gonna be the fucking coolest dad ever.
We'll
man.
See. So. I was living in this, my buddy that we were living in this house, he's an architect. He bought this property in Venice, kind of in Dogwood, which is like the hood. And he was going to tear it down and build up a new place, but he needed to raise money to build the house. So he's like, when we got kicked out, I didn't have enough money to go to anywhere else. And he goes, hey man, I was sleeping on couches. He goes, you can stay in this house if you want. He goes, you know, there's just no hot water and the right. bathroom is pretty gross. There's right. no kitchen. But it's got heat and it's got a roof and it's got electricity. And I was like, all right. So I lived there.
Great friend.
And I was kind of beatnik at the time. I was reading tons of Beats, Kerouac. I was into it, you know. Mm. And I was at the farmer's market one morning, meet this homeless guy. He asked us for coffee. He's like, you guys, they have coffee over there? We're like, yeah, can we buy a cup? He's like, let me buy you a cup. And we're like, nah, we got it. And we end up talking to the guy. And I was like, such
a you feel
this,
good
like,
about yourself when a homeless guy is buying you shit?
Homeless guy, yeah.
But did he want to buy you a cup of coffee or just an actual cup?
Yeah, no coffee. He's like, 25 cents. I'm like,
dollar
really?
Store, 3 for $100. Or $100 for $3.
Nice. Yeah. Have a good. Sip, you guys. Have a sip. And so I said to him, like, listen, man, if you ever need a place to crash, you can come stay with me. And I'm like, I told him my address. I'm like, this is where I live, blah, blah, blah. He's Jesus. Like, no, I could never do that. I'm like, listen, man, I'm lucky to be staying there. You know what? You could stay with me, you know? And he's like, I go, I'm a writer, blah, 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 all this stuff. And he's like, all right. I get home that night from work around 10:30. I was like waiting tables of time. And I used to have my water. There was no running water like in the kitchen. So I would buy like jugs of water and keep it outside.
Yeah.
And I would have tea at night. I was into tea. And I come out and he's asleep on my patio. And I was like, hey, Woodman. And he's like, and he's
was
like,
his last name Woodman?
No, that was his name. Gotcha. Woodman. And he was just like, well, whatever. And I go, you're here. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I've been thinking about you all day. And
fuck?
I go, yeah. And he goes, I want you to write my life story. And I was like, well, come on inside, man. And so he comes inside and he starts telling me his life story, you know. And he was like homeless at like 8. He was living in like this room in the back of a grocery store that he worked at till 12. He had sex with his sister. He, you know, went to Vietnam as a sniper. Like they trained him as a sniper. He's like telling me how many people he killed. At one point, he's telling me, he's like, I led these boys over a hill and Charlie popped up everywhere. 53 of them fucking dead. I'm just losing it. You know, we went till 5 a.m. Maybe 4:30. But he's telling me all these things, and he smoked, right? And every time he wanted to smoke, I go, you can smoke in here. And he goes, I don't want to disrespect your house.
Jesus.
And he goes, I'll smoke outside. I'm like, all right. So every time he wants to smoke, we go outside. And he goes, when we get back in there, man, it's going to get heavy. I'm like, it's cool, man. I can handle this. He's like, it's going to get heavy. I'm like,
five
I can handle
M's when
it.
I really turn up the fucking tearjerkers.
Seriously, man. He's drinking. He had a 40 and then a fifth
Capri
of vodka.
Sun. Oh.
Yeah. And he's just drinking the vodka. And the vodka's gone now. And it's 4:15 or whatever, and then yeah. He just goes, we're inside again, and he just goes, we're gonna have to stop. And I go, what's the matter? Are you cool? He's like, I want to fucking kill you right now. Like, that's what he says to me. Sniper, what? Confirmed kills. He's like, I want to fucking kill you. He's in my home.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. And
how do you even, what do you think?
I got a little weird inside, and then I was just looking at that 40 bottle. I'm like, I just grabbed that. I'm way quicker than him. He's like drunk and old and slow. And
you don't just attack. You're still waiting for him to make a move.
Yeah, he'd have to make a move. He'd have to get up off that. He'd have to. There's no way.
What if he pulled some fucking gun or some? I mean,
nah, he wouldn't have. I had to read on him, and I was like, well, if I need to, I can grab that bottle and bash his face in, and then cut his neck. Like, I would break the bottle across his face and then gash him in the side.
This all planned out.
This is what I was envisioning. Yeah,
sure.
You know,
by the way, that's a pilot episode of Tailspin. So maybe you should. So maybe you should fucking...
Blue Cloud? What was it?
Kid Cloud Kicker.
There you go.
Blue Cloud. You fucking... Dude, that's what...
So I'm like, why don't you just sleep on the couch? And I went into the other room. There was no door in the room, you know? And I just laid on my bed, kind of half awake, half asleep. 7:30 or 8, we get up and we go to breakfast together. He buys. And I was...
You're still hanging with him.
Yeah, still hanging. I'm getting the vibe from him that he was a cannibal, too, at one point. I just got that feel from him.
Yeah.
You know? And then when we...
Why wouldn't you believe that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We go to breakfast. He gets steak and eggs. Cafe 50's on Lincoln. Great place. Mm-hmm. He gets steak and eggs, and he gets his eggs over easy and his steak rare, like bloody. And I'm like, oh, this guy's a cannibal.
What the fuck? Yeah. So can I get a side of Jay's leg? Like, what? All right.
He just cut off his nose. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, be good.
So we get back to my house, and I'm like, all right, man, I got to get going for the day. And he's like, oh, well, can I charge my phone here? And I'm like, yeah, I can plug it in. I'll run an extension cord, and you can plug it in outside. When it's done, you can get it, and you have to go. He's like, all right. And so that day, I'm like asleep in the day. I have acting class. I'm asleep during the day, and I'm laying in my bed, and I go outside to get water, and I see him walking by the alley. There's an alley behind us. He's walking down the alley, and he's with some crack whore, and he's like, that's the place, that's my buddy Jay's place, we can go stay there. And I'm like, oh, he's coming here. So I knew he was going to walk down a 7th, make a right, then come up my street, Indiana, to my house. And yeah. I'm like, holy fuck. I grab my cell, I get my stuff for acting class, my buddy's picking me up, and I run down the end of 7th, and I go down the back alley, and now I'm looking across a yard, across my street to my house from the alley, and I see him walk up my walkway to the patio with the girl, leave his bike, leave his bag, and now walk back down. I'm like, oh my God, he's coming to the liquor store right now. So I call my buddy. I'm like, you got to pick me up. This is what's happening, blah, 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 blah. He comes, picks me up, brings a samurai sword for later in the night when he's going to drop me off. And he's like, if you have to, you know. So we get to my house, and he's like,
who has just a samurai sword laying around?
My buddy has a samurai sword.
Hey, I have two in my room. What the fuck?
Thank you. Exactly.
Is it from The Last Samurai? Was he like, this is memorabilia, big Cruz fan? Or was he just like...
It was, yeah, actually. Like
self-defense.
It was a prop from a movie.
Fair enough.
And so
from Three Ninjas?
It was from DuckTales, man.
The sequel.
So we get to my house, and they both want to come with me. I'm like, I got this. Mm-hmm. And I walk out to the patio, and I go, Woodman. And the woman pops up. She's like, he's sleeping. And I go, he's got to get out of here. He goes, nothing personal. He has to leave. He can't stay here anymore. Yeah. And then he left.
And that was like, it.
3 months later, he's behind the restaurant that I worked at. And my buddy Coonsy, who's a lot of people from our podcast know, Crazy Coonsy is out back, and there's Woodman. He goes, can I get a cup of coffee? And Coonsy's like,
starts all over again.
Coonsy goes, I can get you a cup of coffee. So he grabs one, and then he goes, I think you know my buddy Jay. And he goes, Jay that lives over in Indiana? And he goes, Jay goes, yeah, good guy. And that was it.
Yeah, good guy.
Never came for me.
I would never believe that.
Yeah.
That's an unbelievable
dude,
story.
Jay, I don't know what you did. That's the document or a short film, dude.
I know. I wanted to do, I mean, who knows?
Me and Woodsy.
He used to stay out at 26.
Jay, good guy. What a fucking dope ending. I thought you were going to say, cut to 3 months later, I see him on TV. He's the star of Big Bang Theory. Like, I thought you were going to say, like, I don't know who Woodman was. Maybe that was code for
he's winning Emmys. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, wow. Glad dude, it was nice to that
have
dude.
You told that story before?
It was Danny Glover. No.
Jay, good guy.
Good guy.
Good guy. What do you think, Tony? Jay, good guy. We sound alike, don't we?
Fucking.
He's on this.
Have a drink,
thing,
everybody.
Wow. Jay Larson, everyone, telling great stories. If you want to hear more of Jay Larson's great stories, please subscribe to his podcast. It is called The Crab Feast. He does it with our buddy Ryan Sickler. Fuck The Crab Feast. 5 stars.
Yeah, it's one of the best out there. So
it really
if
is.
You like this show, get on board with that one ASAP.
A recent guest, Anna Faris, Bill Burr. The Bill Burr episode was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have Bill Burr.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but no, but like not I mean, he is always great.
He
but
has
you guys
to know that now that like whenever anyone has him mm-hmm. on, they're just basically like, just do whatever you want, man.
Yeah,
like,
just setting him up.
Show.
Yeah, yeah, but you guys were great. You guys interject. You didn't sit back and let him just.
We tried to get him to, you know, he just kind of did his own thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'd just be like trying to get a story, and then he'd be like, what's going on with this 3-2 defense in the, you know.
Bill's one of those guys, and back me up on this, like, you see how angry and passionate he gets on stage. You're like, oh, wow, what an act. That's not an act.
Yeah, no.
Like, I've seen him talking to, like, a fan that he just met, and the fan will be like, oh, you know, I'm here, and thanks for cheering me up because my girlfriend dumped me on my birthday. And then Bill just goes in this rant going, you know what? Fuck that bitch. They're always dumping you on your worst fucking day. Yeah. And he's just going into it. You're like, holy crap, that's not a character. That's that's fucking Bill. And it was a great episode. And more great episodes to come.
Oh,
dude, obviously.
Real quick, Bill Burr,
sure.
They did a screening of The Heat at Fox. Drink 5, everybody. It's out on DVD and Blu-ray. But he was a little sick, and he just got off the road. And he, like, you know, one of the bummer things about the movie was
did you guys, like, hang out and talk at all?
I talked to him before we went out there, but that was what I was just going to say.
I mean,
the bummer
you're higher billing than him on that.
I mean, look at that poster, man.
I see it.
But, dude, like, that was
there's kinda 5 posters up in the studio, by the way.
All of you. Listeners can't see. But I didn't get to shoot, like, dude, when I saw the cast list, I was like, fuck, I'm going to get to hang out with Marlon Williams or Marlon Wayans and Tom Wilson and Nate Quadri. But, you know, I only shot with Sandra and Melissa and Michael McDonald, which was fine.
Poor you.
Michael Rappaport.
It's a bunch of Oscar winners and $100 million actresses.
Yeah. But, like, so I talked to Bill before and just was like, hey, because I didn't have anything to legitimize myself with him ever. But I was like, we're both in this. And he's like, oh, what's up, man? And then I saw him at the screening and the premiere, and we actually chummed it up. And, like, dude, I mean, he's, you know, he has no idea that it was way cooler for me to talk to him than he probably realizes. But we're at the screening, and he's not really talking to anybody, kind of keeping himself. And then he's looking for a place to sit. So I talked to him for a little bit earlier. So I go, hey, man, come over here. Seat right next to me. I go, hey, man, I heard in your podcast talking about Seahawks pumping the noise into the stadium because I'm from there.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. He goes off and rant about that. And then I just go, he goes, sorry, man, I'm just a little sick, feeling under the weather. And then he goes, yeah. And then I go, oh, you get some meds? He goes, yeah, I tried to go to the grocery store last night. Dude, I just said, have you got any medicine to help your sickness? He went on a 10-minute fucking rant about the grocery store. Where I'm like, is he testing a bit on me? He's not, obviously.
No, and you're so entertained, dude, you don't want
to
stop
I'm sitting there being like, I feel like I'm like listening to my favorite comic, like an album that is like not released. And he was like, the one line I remember, he goes, the grocery store, I hate going late at night because it's always just fucking, you know, homeless people and strippers and fatties who are just like, I just need one extra gallon, you know. And like, dude, he just, it was unreal though, man. And he, I was just like, God, there's like very few. That's another guy too, where we say like he's the same off and on. Like,
And I'm glad that you brought up Burr so that Adam could bring up the Heat. That's awesome.
That's how we work on this podcast, man.
And now our fans are shit faced. So
yeah. Where tour dates? JLarson.com.
You can just go to JLarson Comedy, and I'm on Twitter, JLarsonComedy.com. Everything is all on there.
Links to the Crab Feast and everything. Well, you can tell
Crab Feast podcast, obviously.
Yeah,
you can tell why your podcast is one of the best. You're a intensely entertaining storyteller,
and
man.
Sickler is even more so. So
if you haven't listened to the podcast, go on there just for the stories and just to hear Sickler's laugh.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Did you listen to the episode when he came on this one?
No,
I don't know if you listen to a lot of the podcasts or this one at all.
Wait, what is this one?
It's called About Last Night.
Oh, wait.
But Ryan, this was so good. And, like, do you remember when I came to your guys' place to do it and the shit happened?
Yeah, of course.
We get into that story, dude. Like, I've never seen him laugh so hard on my
life.
Oh, like,
dude.
Because he thought, like, oh, dude, it was, you just got to tune in, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on here.
You're no so problem. Good. Check out all of Jay's stuff. Follow Adam on Twitter. Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter, AdamRayTV.com. Follow me on Twitter, @FunnyBrad, BradWilliamsComedy.com. All our tour dates are up there.
Rate and subscribe the podcast. Come on.
Please do. Rate, subscribe.
Write a review, too, on the iTunes. That always helps. Yeah.
And tell your friends. If you're out there and you're listening to Crab Feast, this isn't just something just for you. We want to expand this. Tell your friends. Say, these are the podcasts that I'm listening to. These are the people I enjoy. And keep coming up to us at our live show and saying you enjoy it, because that really means a lot to us.
And have yourself a good Danny Glover Shabbat this Friday.
Have yourself a great Danny Glover Shabbat.
There's too many you know, that's the one thing about the Jews. We just hold on to these holidays. Why don't we create some new ones?
Danny Glover Shabbat.
Hanukkah's been around for years. Hey, how about fucking Hanukkah 2.0?
Any new holiday is a negative one. Like 9/11 we recognize now, but like when has there ever been a good one? Like,
that's not a holiday, bro.
I know, but you know what I mean? A recognized, you know.
Oh, so like
thanks for tuning in, everybody.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here, and it's funny. And I love you.